been in a series on our theme, which is being disciples, making disciples. I want to diverge from that for a couple weeks because of we're in a different little situation here, and I want to encourage us this morning. Difficult times and situations are just a part of life, and by the way, we need to understand that they're fleeting. They come and go. We need to understand also that some of them can be life-altering, even if it is just for a certain amount of time. There are things that happen in our lifetime that cast the shadow of a memory or a memory that lasts forever. You know, moments, people use the phrase when something happens sometimes. You know, when that happened, I remember where I was at. I remember exactly what I was doing. I don't remember this. Some of our older folks, Brother Montgomery, if you're watching, I'm sure you remember it. You know, people are like, I know what was going on the day that JFK was shot. For us, most of us, we would remember what we were doing when we found out about 9/11. Times like that happen. These are times that cause changes and upheaval in our lives. But it doesn't have to be some type of natural catastrophe. It could be an illness in your life. It could be some economic challenge you face. And I know with what's going on, there'll be some of that going forward. I think we'll be able to recover if we stick together. But regardless, there are people that lose their jobs all the time. There are downturns in individuals' lives. Maybe sometimes it's a tragedy in a relationship that causes upheaval in our life. Sometimes it's a death of a loved one. Like we're experiencing now, something, culture or current events, situations that arise from that. And I want to encourage us today, not just because of our situation, but because things happen in life. We are all humans. And as humans, we struggle sometimes to react correctly and to process what is going on in our life. We don't handle it correctly. We may react with anxiety. We may react with fear. We may react with confusion. And let me just tell you something. That's natural, but it shouldn't be where we remain. Sometimes things happen in our lives and things come our way, and our initial thought is a little bit of anxiousness, maybe a little bit of fear, maybe we're a little bit confused, but then we need to stop and remember, I know the Lord. Yes, I need to do what I need to do. Yes, I need to handle it correctly, but I need to handle it with a Christian perspective, and that's what I'm trying to help us with this morning. Nothing that happens in our life is meaningless if we are a Christian. Nothing. We have a God who loves us. We have a God who wants to work in our life. We have our God that no matter what is happening, He wants us to bring honor and glory to Him and use everything that happens in our life for good. But we have to understand God is in control. God's not forgotten about what's going on. Sometimes I've been there. I've been there where things are happening. I'll sit there and like, God, have you forgot about me? Do you know what's going on? You know, then we come to ourselves and like, of course He does. We have to remind ourselves. Ultimately, we must understand, as we will see today, we must understand that God has a purpose for everything that happens and for everything that He allows. As we look at everything that happens to us, we can see that there's always a good reason why God either brings things to our life or God allows things in our life. He has a reason. We may not like what is going on, and I understand that. But if we will strip back the veneer and we will see the silver lining in the cloud, we will see that God has a reason for what He is doing. He can use anything that happens for good. Our message comes from the story of Christ with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Lazarus was sick. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus seemed to have a very close relationship with the Lord. He loved Lazarus. By the way, He loves all of us. We all think, you know, we have a special love relationship with Jesus, and I hope you do, but you know what? Everybody can have that special relationship with Jesus. He loves all of us. Christ is about 20 miles away as Lazarus gets sick. The ladies send a message to Jesus to, my brother's sick, thinking that he will come quickly. And before he dies, they will do something about it and he will be healed. But after Jesus hears that he's sick, he does something very interesting. He waits 2 days before even leaving to go to Lazarus. And because of that, by the time he gets there, Lazarus will already have been dead 4 days. He's talking to his disciples as they go. And as he talks about Lazarus, he tells them very plainly that Lazarus is dead. He has died. He then confuses them by explaining this, that he was glad for their sakes that he wasn't there, so that he would have been healed. That must have been difficult for those guys to swallow. When you love these people, we're going, we delayed, and yet you're glad to tell us that you weren't there after explaining to them that Lazarus is now dead. Why was he glad? Was he glad for all that they went through? No, there was a reason behind why he was glad. Verse 15, Jesus said, "And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the extent," now he's going to give them the reason why he was glad that he wasn't there in time, "to the extent that you may believe, nevertheless, let us go to him." See, Jesus is stating here that in this situation, I know Lazarus was there, and I know I could have went there, and I could have stopped at long distance, but I had a greater purpose in this situation. And he has a greater purpose in every situation which you and I face. See, these were some of his closest men. And he said, there's a purpose in this. There's something I want you to get out of this. These were his closest guys. These were his guys that were dedicated to him. They were already committed. They were already following him. And he's like, no. You still need to believe a little bit more. You still are short in some areas. You still have something I want to work in your life. See, one day they would give their lives for the faith. But Jesus had some things he had to teach them first. Now, for us this morning, if we were to have a faith scale, where is our faith at? How strong is it at? How far have I grown? No matter where each and every one of us would end up being on that faith scale, we still need more. We still need to grow. We still need to increase. Sometimes it is only through difficult times that we learn where our faith is at. If we are skating through this life and everything is going well and we're not facing any problems, we have sometimes a tendency to inflate our sense of where we are at in our faith. We have a tendency to think we are stronger than we really are. But when that time comes, when difficulties arrive and we see how we handle them, that really tells us where we are at. And I would imagine in each and every one of our cases, we would not be where we think we are at. Could it be that's why he allows those things to happen? So that we can find out where we're at and he can work in our life and deepen our faith and we can grow where we are at. I won't read the verses, but in James chapter 1, doesn't he tell us that's the reason for trials? That we may mature, that he may try our faith till we learn patience and we mature in our faith. Why did Jesus allow this to happen? Because he wanted them to have greater faith. Why does he allow things to happen in our life? Because he wants us to have a greater faith. And this morning we can either go with that or we can resist it. I always think about in James when he brings trials and someone doesn't react correctly and they don't actually grow in their faith, they might even take a couple steps down. And that trial eventually goes away. I wonder if Jesus says, got to do it again. I got to bring some. It's like, look, if you fail a test, sometimes you get to retake it. No, you didn't do it. You didn't learn what I wanted you to learn. If you fail a class, you have to retake it. I would hope that we would learn what he wants us to learn. So what's the message this morning? There's always a good reason why. God can use anything that comes into our life to increase our faith. Now, I want to see it from two angles this morning. The first one is I want you to see the realities we face as we come to grips with what is going on. As we look at these ladies, we see some of the difficulties they had to face. There were some things that didn't add up to them. And I'm sure even as the disciples were with Jesus traveling to him, they probably didn't get it. They're like, wait a minute, I know he loves that family. We're going there. Why couldn't he have done something earlier? Why is he glad that we weren't there? And they had to come to grips with it. The same is true for us. What are some of the realities we have to face? First is the reality of the message. It says, it told us that, therefore the sisters sent unto him. In other words, the ladies specifically made sure that Jesus got the message about their brother. Because they could believe he could do something. Now, what he did didn't work out the way that they wanted it, but they wanted to get a message to him. Let me explain something to us this morning. God gets our message. Well, we're going through a tough time. Sometimes we get down and we're talking to the Lord like, do you even know what's going on in my life? What is going on here? Are you hearing? Can I just tell you something? He got it. He knows. And by the way, he knew what was going to happen before it ever happened. Our problem is he doesn't react the way we want him to react. And so we doubt that he hears us. We doubt that he got the message, but he gets it. Now, I'm not going to chide us this morning because I've been there. There have been times in my life where I've struggled with things, and I can think of, I'm not going to go into it, two very clear times when I went out to pray about something that didn't go my way, and I shouldn't say this because God might strike me dead. If you do, Lord, he's right there, Brother Pichardo. I'm like, Lord, I don't get it. What you did doesn't make any sense. In a sense, I told God I disagreed with what he was doing. Now, the thing is, when you start to pray like that, if you'll keep going, after a few minutes, you get back to where you should be. But I didn't get it. I'm like, Lord, that doesn't make sense. That situation was perfect for you to do something. That situation really would have helped me in my life. And then we argue with them. By the way, it probably would have been good stewardship, Lord, after all. God knows what's going on. And God works it all out. But we don't think he hears the message. He hears the message, but let me share something with Isaiah, with you from Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Now he explains why our thoughts and his are different, and our ways and his are different. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God's like, you don't even comprehend what I comprehend. Now think about that. God, why don't you think like I think? Why don't you do things the way I want you to do? And God goes, I got the whole universe under control. Okay, you know, I like what he told Job. Like, where were you? When I was creating all this, what were you? You weren't even around. I'm pretty sure God knows what's going on. The problem is we have a hard time with that. Just because God doesn't react the way we think he should doesn't mean he doesn't know what's going on. God is in control. And we have to fight that urge all of us get to say, Lord, what's going on here? Do you know what's going on? He does, I can assure you. But we have to face the reality of the message that he did get it. Then we have to face the reality of their emotions. He says, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. See, Jesus had a close relationship with them. They knew that he loved them. That's why they sent the message. They believed that he would come. They believed that he would take care of the situation the way they wanted it. Why? Because they knew that he loved them. But understand this, just because God loves us doesn't mean he shelters us from everything. By the way, you know what's wrong sometimes? We shelter our kids a little too much. You're not in the auditorium, so I could say this face-to-face. You know, some of you me-ho your little kids, right? I tell my wife, like, quit me-hoing them. You know, I don't know if that's a Mexican thing. I just don't know. You're me-hoing the kid. It's like, you know, he falls down. He scraped his knee. It's the end of the world. Stop it. They'll survive. I don't want my kids playing on the playground. Well, right now they can't. The playgrounds are all closed, all right? But But it's like, you know, and I'm not saying have our kids jump off of a third-story balcony, okay? I'm not saying that. But sometimes as parents, we want to shelter them from everything so that nothing difficult comes their way. And when they become adults and something comes their way, they can't handle it. God doesn't shelter us. God helps us. Look, how are we going to see God's help in a tough situation if we never go through a tough situation? How are we ever going to see God's protection and God's power if we're always sheltered from everything? Well, if he loves me, nothing bad would ever happen. That's not true. By the way, because of sin, bad things happen in this world. It's amazing. We want to kick God out of everything, and then when bad things happen, we say, where's God? Why'd we kick him out? Our public schools are a mess. You kicked him out a long time ago. What's going on in our society? Listen, our society rejected him a long time ago. Let's get back to reality here. But God loves us. Just because bad things are happening, do not ever, if no matter what happens in your life, the worst thing ever that could happen in your life, all you got to do is stop and say, the God of the universe became a man and died for me. That settles it. God commended his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That answers every question. He doesn't care. He died for you. He does care. Look at Job. Job went through so many things, but you know what I appreciate about Job, when you read it in the scripture, Job never questioned God's care for him. Job was confused about things, but he knew that God could help him. Just because things don't happen the way we want them to doesn't mean God stops loving us. We have to face the reality of the circumstances. Tells us, when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. If Job had just up and died before they could have ever sent a message to Jesus, maybe it would have been a little easier to take. Right? Now, we're going to look later where the girls say, Lord, if you'd been here, you wouldn't have died. The confusion for them and the confusion for the disciples would have been, wait a minute, the circumstances here don't make sense. You could have done something about this, and you chose not to. You allowed this. See, sometimes something happens very tragic, and we look at the circumstances, and we think, if this and this and this just would have been different, right? Remember my uncle, my aunt remarried and many years ago, and her new husband, my uncle, his son was driving he was a truck driver, and he was driving down the 710 freeway. This is probably 1980. He was driving down the 710 freeway, and there was another semi in front of him, and the other semi, unbeknownst, the guy was a little bit sloppy, and his truck, for some reason, was a little bit higher than it should be. And he was following that truck and didn't know it, and that truck hit one of the underpasses because it was higher than it should be, and a chunk of concrete came off, bounced back, and went through my uncle's son's window and crushed him and killed him. I remember he had a hard time with that. Just replaying the circumstances over and over. Why did they load the truck that way? I mean, how come it wasn't checked? And we can look at every little detail, and we try to, if this would have been different here, and that would have been different here, this wouldn't have, and we're going to go crazy. Okay? Yeah, but if just this one little thing would have been different, it wasn't. Confusion. Circumstances. Things happen that are out of our control. Don't trust God for what's going on, and don't rehash everything that happened in the past. I'm not saying if something happened, we don't try to, I learn from it, I get it. But we spend the rest of our life rehashing everything that happened. We ruin the future. We see the reality of their confusion. The disciples, when Jesus told them what was going on, they had no clue. They said, Lazarus sleepeth. And they said, Lord, if he sleep, he does well. Great, he's resting. Jesus, no, he's dead. What? He's gone? I don't get that. They were confused about that. Difficult times cause confusion in our life. By the way, confusion leads to fear. We get confused because in our mind, we have to understand each and every little detail. We don't have to understand every detail. Things happen. We have to go forward. We have to understand, God, I don't like this, but what can you do in my life through this? That's your choice. If you say, Lord, I don't have to understand everything. I know you're good and I know you love me and I know you want to teach me something in this. I'm going to move forward, or we're going to sit here and confused and go over every little thing. And confusion breeds fear, and fear breeds bad decisions. I've seen people take a situation, and instead of learning from it and going forward, they make more bad decisions, and things get worse, not better. And then lastly here, the reality of their discouragement. Jesus shows up, and now he's going to talk to the ladies. Look at verse 20. It says, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, they find out that he's coming. By the way, it's very, very sad. She went out and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Verse 21, then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. Look at verse 32. So Martha comes out to Jesus. Now we're going to see when he first time he meets Mary. Verse 32. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, they come separately, different times, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. You see their discouragement? Lord, that's why we sent for you in the first place. If you were only here, that's one of the most haunting phrases or words, if. Things could have been so much different, Lord, if. Remember, if living is not good living. What do you mean? If we live how they were, Lord, if. That means we're positioned in the past. We're still thinking about what happened. We're still not over what happened in the past. If this had happened, or if that would have happened, everything would have been different. There are ifs all over the place. I read a story one time that Hitler, in World War I, I don't know if he was gassed or whatever, and he was injured. He was in a field. He got up later in the field by himself. When he stood up, there was a British soldier with a gun right on him. For some reason, the soldier let him go. Think about that. If that had happened, I wonder how history would have been changed. We can't live with ifs. Lord, if this one, if that thing, if only, Lord, if, keeps us in the past. It keeps us painful in the present. Because when we're living the past, we're still painful in the present. We're not going to heal. We're not going to get over it. We're not going to get through it. And not only that, it poisons our future. I mean, that kind of doubtful, discouraged living, it ruins our past. It keeps us in the past. It's painful in the future and in the present. It poisons our future. We can't live that way. So how do we get over it? Well, we saw their reality. Let's see the reassurance of faith. See, God doesn't want us to live with the ifs. How can we have reassurance during difficult times? Well, I'll give the ladies credit. They questioned Christ, but they did know some things. There was the reassurance of prayer. Look at verse 22. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Can you believe? Even as she was questioning, Lord, if you bet, he wouldn't have died. But even now, whatever you ask, that's to me, she really believed in prayer. She really, although the one thing she did do right in her discouragement was she went to the right place. That's a problem with a lot of us. We don't do that. Problems drive us farther from prayer, not closer. That's the issue. It's okay to be, in a sense, questioning, I guess. Someone disagrees with that, that's okay. I'm speaking this morning, not you. As long as we bring it to the right place. See, because if we're questioning God, but we come to Him, we'll get the answers and the questions will be handled. Look, whatever you ask, she believed that God could do something still. And it seems like everything's blown up and everything around us is ruined. And things aren't going the way I want. Why don't we just go to God in prayer? Because things can get better and things will get better if we'll go to God. What are you doing during this time? We have more. I have more time now. You know, I can't go to work. Or I got this or that. Good. Spend some time in prayer. We've asked the church. And I don't know if we've done a good job of getting this out. Spend 10 minutes a day in prayer, specifically for the church and the church family. But pray about your situations as you spend time with God. Pray. Why? I'm struggling financially. Maybe you're working in an industry where they've not, now many of them, they've sent you home, they're still paying you, but there's a lot of them that aren't getting paid. Trust God, pray, and ask for God to help you during this time as you do the things you're supposed to be doing. Thankful for our church. I've got so many people text and say, Pastor, I prayed for you this morning. Thank you. And we're praying for you, and you pray for everybody else in the church. We're just like the church. We're just like the church family. We all need prayer. Pray for our country. Pray for those that are fearful that this will be used to reach people for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've heard many stories of people going out and saying, hey, talking to them, they're social distancing, okay, whether they're takeout or whatever, or their neighbors, and they're like, hey, watch the online feed. They're still trying to encourage people. Let's pray. She still believed in prayer. She sent to Christ. He didn't come. Her brother was dead, but she still believed in prayer. She had reassurance in the scripture. Now, Jesus told her He's going to rise, and she got a little bit confused. Verse 24, she goes, Martha said unto Him, I know that He shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. When Jesus is kind of trying to help her to get the thought that He's going to raise Him from the dead, she thought, he's talking about the resurrection. Well, where'd she get that from? Scripture. I know it's coming one day. That future's coming because the scriptures have told me that. You want encouragement? Get in God's word. I'm watching the live stream. Good. We'll be back on tonight at 5. And we'll be on again at Thursday at 7. I encourage you to be to all of them. By the way, you're saving a lot of time driving. I want to say this. I hope you're not late to the services. Okay? It's in your living room, all right? If you're late to the services in the living room, I have no hope of getting you here on time for the regular services. But more than that, you need to spend time in the Word of God. Doubting, if we doubt God's Word, we doubt God. If I tell somebody, hey, I'll do this, and they're like, I'm not sure you're going to do it, they're doubting me. Why would you do that? Okay, I'm just kidding. But they doubt you, like, no, I don't believe you can do it. I said I'll do it. No, I don't believe you'll do it. If we doubt what God says, God's Word, He said it, not us. We're doubting God. Read the Bible. Spend time in the Scripture. Read the Psalms. Read all. If you're going through, I remember, I think it was Miss DaCosta. She told me, I forget the Psalm. I think it might be Psalm 78 or one of them. And Don, if you're listening, I'm sorry, I forgot. But we were talking about something one time. She says, when she was going through difficult times, she goes, that Psalm helped me. And I read it over and over and over. Well, that's what Scripture's like. It almost makes me believe that's why God put it there. Because it's good for us. Be careful what you're listening to. Let me say that. We are focusing and listening to the wrong voices during this time. And I'm not against listening. We didn't have our meetings yesterday morning, and I saw a little bit of the president and all the doctors and all that, and that's fine. I'm not putting my hope in them. But we'll listen to experts in not just this, but other fields over God. We'll listen to a biased politician. I know they're all biased. We'll listen to the confusion news network. I always call MS, LSD, all these different news stations, and we're getting and how we feel about ourselves is coming from them. And you'll hear all these, you get on your social media and you hear all these conflicting voices. You're listening to the radio, and I'm okay. Listen, we need to keep up with what's going on. But be careful who we're listening to. They're not gonna encourage or discourage me. A week and a half ago when this was coming out, I had a sports guy on. He started saying nonsense. I'm like, off. Let me listen to this guy anymore. It's like, look, you want to tell me who so-and-so's signing with to kind of keep, that's fine, but don't start talking. You have no clue what you're talking about. But I know this, when I open the scripture, God always knows what he's talking about. She had reassurance and love. Verse 34, they go out there, and they go out to the tomb, and they said, where have you laid them? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. So there they go. And listen, the easiest memory verse for everybody in the Bible, Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. You know, they may have questioned a lot of things, but they didn't question his love. Because his love for them was obvious to everybody that looked around. Wow, he really does love them. And God really does love us. You know, he understands what we go through. Sometimes we can't understand things, but he understands everything we go through. Remember, as a Bible college student, I had this family on my bus route. I was a 20-year-old, 21-year-old kid. I didn't know anything. I had this lady, her name was Mrs. Pascal, and she had five daughters, rode our bus route faithful. We'd pick her up in the morning, and they stayed all day, dropped them off 11 at night. They were crazy. That's just how it was back then. And she had a husband, and I usually didn't see him. Everybody had talked to him. He didn't want to have anything to do with church. And I remember one Saturday, I was there, and the adult Sunday school teacher from the church came to go visiting, to visit Mrs. Pascal and talk to her husband. And we went there, and we talked to her husband. He happened to be home that day. And as we were talking to him, he's like, I got to go to work. I remember him, every time I go to his house, the times he was home, he'd say, Brother Steve, how's the church business? He said with a Greek accent. I'm like, it's not a church business. But we talked to him. I remember as we were just talking to him a little bit, he was walking out the door getting ready for work. He goes, I got to leave. Well, he left. Next morning, we go by. My wife was in, she'd get that area ready to come on the bus. I remember I pulled up, and my wife came out, and she didn't look good. She's Mexican, kind of hard to be pale, but you could tell something was wrong just by looking at her face. She said, you need to come in. Went in there. What had happened is, we were the last ones to talk to him before he walked out of his house. 20 minutes later, when he got to work, he dropped dead of a heart attack. And here I am, supposed to give Mrs. Pascal and probably 50 comfort. I walked in there, and I sat at the dining room table with her, and I looked across from her, and she's crying. I had nothing to give her. I mean, I tried to talk to her, but here's this kid trying to comfort and encourage her. I didn't know what she was going through at that time. I did my best, and she understood that, and she was very gracious. But you know, whenever we come to God with our problems, God always knows what we're going through. He cares. He loves us. Always be reassured with that. Be reassured in obedience. Look at verse 41. He goes to the tomb. Verse 41, he says, then took they away the stone from the place where the dead was lay, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. He wanted them to take that stone away. Now, that was not an easy task. And for them to do that, there had to be some type of belief that maybe something was going to happen here. I mean, he's telling us that he's going to do something. Because obedience is always predicated on faith. Why would they roll the tomb away if they don't believe he's going to do something? They had to obey and follow through. So often what happens is when things are going sideways, our obedience level seems to step down instead of stepping up. We have to understand that God still wants us to do the things we're supposed to be doing, even in hard times. God doesn't want us to give up on those things. I've had people tell me before, there's problems in their life, said, I'll come back to church once I get this situation fixed. I just can't come right now. That's the worst possible thing we could do. We don't need less of God in hard times. We need to obey him more. Because it's only through obedience that God can unleash his power in our lives. Yes, we need to get in the scripture, but we get in the scripture to get comfort and also to find out our next step. What are we supposed to be doing? You know, I can't come to church, but you can watch. I can't do that. You can read time, you can read the scripture. I can't do it. I can pray. I can still give. I can still do all the things I'm supposed to be doing. He had reassurance in eternity. Verse 25, and Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. What does he mean by that? There is no eternal death. There's a physical death. We all die physically, but if we don't trust Christ, there's an eternal death, which is hell, and that's unpleasant. But when we trust Christ, we never die. Yes, our body will die, but we don't have the eternal death. You know, no matter how bad things are on this earth, heaven's going to be a much better place. Heaven will be, I know the song, and I don't like it. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. And I know it will be, but you know what? It's still kind of worth it down here too. But it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Everything we've went through won't seem like anything. And I'm not discounting what's going on here. I'm not. But I'm just saying, as we're struggling with what's going on here, let's keep one eye in eternity. Let's keep one eye on what God has for us. What's the message? How are you handling the trials that you face? Not just this. We'll get through this. But how are you handling all the things that come your way? Because when difficulties come, here's what you need to do. You need to measure yourself on the faith scale. There's a reason why things come our way. There's a reason why God allows certain things. Why? He wants us to learn something.